risk mapping for leishmaniasis in Brazil, the use of ecological niche models. Maria Martins and John Malone. Maria will be making the presentation. So there's a pointer if you need it.
Okay, so we're going to be, I wouldn't say switching gears, but it's going to be more specific towards the study of leishmaniasis we have done in Brazil. This project was a part of a project funded by the Pan American Health Organization, and we are trying to look at predicting the risk for different diseases or neglected tropical diseases in several countries in Latin America. So just a brief overview of what my talk is going to include. I'll try to explain or just give you a brief introduction about the disease. Leishmaniasis in Brazil, this disease takes two forms. We have the visceral form of the disease, and we also have the cutaneous form. I'm going to explain what our objective was with the study, how we got the study done, how we derived the environmental and the socioeconomic model, and the future directions we are taking within those results. So leishmaniasis is a non-contagious parasitic disease. It's caused by a protozoan of genus Leishmania. We have two forms of this disease. One is present in the in mammals. Another one, the promastigote form, is an arthropod disease. It has a vector involved, and the vector is the sandflies species. This is just an illustration of its causes. In the visceral form is mainly enlargement of liver and spleen. In the cutaneous form, it's ulceration of mucous tissues. So both forms of the disease, they are public health issues, not only in Brazil, but worldwide. In Brazil, we have it pretty bad. It's a serious problem in there. We are trying to control it. And this is just to illustrate the situation around the world. In Brazil, we mainly have one species that causes the visceral form of the disease. It is called Leishmania chagasi. And we have a predominant vector, which is Leishmania palpis, and we recently found a different vector that only occurs in the central west part of the country. It's the cutaneous form, also a problem in endemic in 85 countries. We again have that in Brazil. For the cutaneous form, it's a little bit more complicated because we have several species involved, and we also have several vectors involved in the transmission cycle. So the objective of our study is to identify the environmental and the socioeconomic factors that could be associated with the occurrence of leishmaniasis, either form cutaneous or visceral in Brazil. Our time frame was during the years of 2005 to 2009, and we tried to use ecological niche models to predict the risk of having the disease at the municipality level. So this is more or less how a methodology was done. We would like to call it a project life cycle because the goal of our studies is after we gather all the information, we analyze, we can feed the local health agencies so they can continue the project or they can use the information and apply on the control policies they try to make. So we got the disease data from National Surveillance System in Brazil. And we got the socioeconomic data from the Statistical and Geographic Institute in Brazil. We also got some information data from the unsatisfied basic needs data from the Pan American Health Organization, and that is divided in unsatisfied basic needs for housing and unsatisfied basic needs for people. With that, we tried to construct a database that would be considering all the cities in Brazil, the municipalities in Brazil. In Brazil, for the environmental data, we looked at vegetation, land surface temperature, and we used the climate variables from WorldClimate and BioClimate. This is just how we got it done. We extract data based on it was point location data. We performed statistical analysis, and we tried to develop the ecological niche models using MaxEnt, which is also a machine learning tool, open source, and that was the approach we took to create the ecological niche models. With that, we tried to identify the risk area. We were able to generate a probability distribution surface, and with that, we presented to the local, to the Ministry of Health, so they can pinpoint the areas at risk, and they can actually allocate the resource in a faster manner or more efficient manner. So this is where Brazil is located. For the ones that are not familiar, we are in South America. It's the largest country in South America. And this study, the whole country has about like 5,500 municipalities. It is divided in five regions. We have the northeast, southeast, south, central west, and north region of the country. During the period of 2005 to 2009, we have 13,000 cases of visceral leishmaniasis, which is the one that affects liver and spleen, and 96,000 cases of the cutaneous form of the disease. Most of the cases are concentrated in the northeast region of the country, but all these cases, they correspond to only 1% of the cases reported in the country. For the cutaneous form of the disease, we have the highest concentration in the north area of the country. So this is our environmental model, and this is for the cutaneous form. As you could notice, they are not... Let me just go back a little bit. If you look at what we have in green is the visceral form, and what we have in red is the cutaneous form. We can see that we have more cases of the cutaneous form than we have the visceral form, even though the visceral form is more... is where we have a higher concern because it's lethal. The cutaneous form, even if you don't get treated, you end up with an ugly scar, but you can develop self-cure, even though if you don't get any treatment. But the cutaneous or the visceral form, if you don't get treated, you die from that. So we have more of the cutaneous form than we have of the visceral, and also the spatial distribution is not the same, so it makes you think that they probably have different environmental factors associated with them. So for the environmental model, we found that this is not our probability distribution using MaxEnt. We have the areas in red, red as a high probability of having the disease. When we look at the variables, we found that the variables that the environmental variables that are more important in the study or to develop the ecological niche model was the precipitation of September, and that variable contributed with 26% in the model. And then we had the annual precipitation. We found that those variables are mainly important for the maintenance of the vector, so that's why we are looking at them. And, of course, the vector, it explains that we have to give you a short explanation of what's going on, but the vector is very big about the environmental conditions. It's a weak flyer, so if it's too rainy, if it's too windy, if it's too dry, it's not going to go out to feed and transmit the disease. So those give us important information on the life cycle of the disease. And then it's just to illustrate the importance of the variable in the model. The way this machine learning software works is it pretty much puts like all the variables in the model, and then it takes each one of them at a time, and then it adds each one of them at a time. So it gives you the weight, like the contribution of each variable in the model. So you have the option to look at the model in the context of having all the variables, or just this variable entering the model, or all the other variables in the model. And then you can isolate like the importance, or how much information you're gaining when you add or you exclude a variable. And this is the situation for the visceral form of the disease. You see like the occurrence change in the country basically don't have anything going on in the south or the northwest part of the country. And for the visceral form, also the environmental conditions change. We found that precipitation is still a main factor for both forms of the disease, but instead of September, we found that for the visceral form, it's the precipitation of October. So those could act as early prediction factors. Of course, we cannot tell you for sure, like, can you predict for sure that the precipitation in October or September will affect the leishmania? No, we still have to study into more detail that. But it also give you an input of how you could start thinking about developing early warning systems for those diseases. And mean temperature this time is also important for the visceral form of the disease. So then we decide to look at the socioeconomic models, because visceral leishmaniasis is not only related to environmental factors, but is also considered a disease of the poor. So in our database, mainly it's consisted of what's going on with the human and not with the vector. So we decide to look at socioeconomic data and see what aspects of poverty could be playing a role in the disease occurrence. And for the cutaneous form of the disease, we found that education and satisfied basic needs for education for people regarding education, plumbing in the house, and the number of health units were the most influencing the occurrence of the disease. The number of healthy units, we think it's because not everywhere in the country you can find hospitals. And so sometimes people will go to the hospital that's closer to their house, or sometimes just to get a better access to health services, they will give a different address, and that could be a confounding factor in the study. But education, the way we explain that is mainly if you're aware of the disease, then you can protect yourself from getting it. Most of the people don't know how they can get or how the disease works or the life cycle of the disease, so they don't use additional protective measures. For the visceral form of the disease, we found that human development index is the highest contribution to the model, and that is in regard to the ability of the ability of the individual to respond to the infection. If you don't have good nutrition, if you don't have good health, good access to those things, to good care, of course your body by itself cannot respond to the disease and cannot fight it off. Literacy rate has also been a big role on that, and we still think it's like being educated about how the disease is spread or how you can get it. And sewage services, which I think is related to just like maintaining well-being. If you don't have access to basic services like sewage, garbage collection, piped water, you probably don't have a good immune system to fight those diseases off, or you would get it easily. So then we decide to look at what would happen if we think about, can we isolate where areas where you have both of diseases, where both of them would be a problem, and that would be our surface risk. Considering like both of diseases, the Northeast wouldn't be a big problem around the coastal area as it was before when you show each one of them isolated. But you have to, you still have a high tendency of having the disease in the North and in the Southeast of the country. And we see, if you look at the data, the disease data, you see that the southeast of the country and the north is like the regions that have like the most reported cases, with an increase in cases every year. So with that, we conclude that those models generated with MaxEnt, they can be used to generate or to identify the probability distribution for those diseases, and just based on the disease data, the disease point data, and these models, very useful for health decision makers to guide the resource that is going to be allocated and those control programs. And this is just to illustrate, we use data from elevation, land surface temperature, world climate, vegetation, socioeconomic data, and you put kind of them like in layers to generate your risk surface. So with that information, what we did is we decided to look in a smaller scale. This is where Brazil is, so we are looking at a state level in this area by year state. So what we did is we pretty much extracted all the data that I mentioned previously, and we just used statistical analysis using a statistical package software, and then we decided to create a surface area for the risk based on the probability of having the disease, and then we decided to compare those results with what we have seen in MaxEnt. And they pretty much tend to agree to what we found. The importance of using the a smaller scale is that even within like a municipality, each polygon in this area represents like a city. So even within a city, you can have like a different risks. So it's important in allocation. If you're going to spray for vectors, or if you're going to test the dogs or other animals, you can direct your activities better, in a better way. And this is just comparing the risk for the visceral form of the disease. They also tend to agree. So we think that if we use a smaller scale, we'll have like better results. As we are trying to do is also to have to see if we're starting from, we start from a bigger scale, which was the country, and we're going to state and then community level. We want to see if we can go the opposite way from community level and predict the risk for the whole country. So we would like to acknowledge the Pan American Health Organization for funding this study, Louisiana State University, Federal University of Bahia in Brazil, and the Swiss Tropical Medicine Institute that partnered together to make this study possible.